This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Dr. David Gordon has what I would think of as the most important and wonderful qualification one could have. He was a close friend and student and colleague of Murray Rothbard's. David is, of course, also a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, author of many books, most recently The Essential Rothbard, columnist for LouRockwell.com. Take a look at his archive, also his bibliography on liberty. But today, David, I want to ask you to just sort of reminisce about Murray. Tell us some stories about what it was like to work so closely with him.
Oh, well, he was a tremendous person. One thing, sort of a quality you get right away, is that he really knew everything. I remember one story. I like to give people trivia questions, and I was telling him, another friend of mine was a great literary scholar, Mel Bradford, who had a tremendous knowledge of American history, and I was telling Murray, I'd once trapped Mel on a question. I said, what was Rutherford Hayes' middle name? And so Murray said, it was Burchard, of course. So anything you asked him, he would know. And he would, you know, when I, working in the, we have the Mises Institute, we have Murray's papers. They have his book reviews that he wrote, or unpublished reports for the Volcker Fund that people would ask, that he would be asked to comment on various books. And in every case, he would know the subject better than the author, and he would just give a bibliography that the author had omitted. And no matter what the subject, he would just give, he would know more than the author. I remember I once saw a letter from Bob Higgs in his Crisis, when he wrote Christ and Leviathan. He said he'd gotten about several pages in single space letter from Murray just giving material, extra material he should have read. And he had been doing research on his topic for years. He was one of the world's top authorities, but still Murray was able to give him additional points.
David, I once remember walking in a scholarly bookstore in New York City with you and Murray. It seemed to me that between you two, you had read every single thing in the bookstore and knew what was in every single book.
Well, Murray did have a tremendous bibliographical knowledge. You know, he was a student of Joseph Dorfman, and Dorfman emphasized that very much. If you look at Dorfman's book, Economic Mind in America, in several volumes, he would have cite all the possible literature much more than anyone else. And Murray was like that. For Murray, he would read on a subject, he would simply absorb material very fast. You know, my own area, mostly philosophy, especially political philosophy, I would sometimes suggest books to him, and he would just start looking at them, and he was able to get a very good idea of what was in a book almost right away. And one thing, if it's very funny, if you look at the books in his library, we have at the Mises, he would underline things. He'd underline nearly everything, and he'd have comments in the margins, sometimes not very favorable comments. We'd always have a sense when you're reading Murray, it was like he was at a baseball game, be cheering or booing for various things. And he would be able to tell you afterwards about the book exactly what was in it and what the main arguments were and what he objected to. I really haven't met anyone with his knowledge on so many different fields.
I remember once visiting him and Joey at their house in Las Vegas and coming in the evening, and he was sitting at the kitchen table, which was stacked very, very high with papers. And it turned out the Western Political Science Association was meeting in Las Vegas. And so he went by and brought back all the papers. Mm-hmm. He brought back all the papers that had been delivered and was going through them. And this, of course, is not a major conference, but yet he was looking for nuggets of gold among all the dross.
Oh, yeah, and he was like that also on, say, listen to talks by people. He would recall exactly what people said, and what conversations he'd had with people, could tell you what each one had said and what his response. Sometimes this would be years later, he would still know exactly what they had said.
He also seemed to me the funniest person I ever knew. I mean, you were never in his presence for more than just a few seconds before you're laughing. I mean, it was just a tremendous, I mean, he really was the joyous libertarian in everything about him. The title he, of course, gave to Mencken, But Murray really was it.
Oh yeah, yes, very much so. I mean, he certainly, he would really, I remember sometimes I have jokes that aren't, rather odd. So I would say something like something is, I would say to him something, I find something funny. And he would say to me, David, do you mean funny, ha ha, or funny peculiar?
But he was, I mean, when he lectured, he was almost like a stand-up comedian. I mean, in addition to just giving wonderful talks, I remember when I went to his memorial service at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and one of the students told me that he'd taken his course on the history of American business and then audited it for the two following years, and he said he's the only professor he'd ever come across. Every single lecture was new, so that Murray did not give the same lecture as the second or the third year of this course. Even though he's lecturing on the same topic, he knew so much that he was able to give entire and wanted to give entirely new lectures.
Well, I remember, you know, when we were mentioning on how funny he was. I remember one story he had that he said, well, his first teaching job, I think, was at the City College in New York. It was around 1949, and he said the economics faculty wasn't very up on the literature. And I remember this is 49. He said someone once came into the faculty room and said, do you think this fellow Kynes is worth reading? But and on what you were mentioning on his tremendous knowledge, I remember once at one of the Mises University program, I was supposed to be leading a seminar with him, and I think it was on history of economic thought. So he was a few minutes late, and then he came in, and he just spoke just for about a half hour without any notes, and he was just going through the whole thing, starting with Chinese history was going on and going into Greek history. I'd never really heard anything like it. It was amazing.
I remember once when he was asked a question at a Mises University about what was going on in the Caucasus in terms of, this is after the fall of the Soviet Union, and apropos of a point you made the other day about Murray in Iraq, he seemed to know every ethnic group and the history of every ethnic group in the Caucasus and who they'd been involved with, who they'd fought, who they hated, who they loved. And he just, I mean, he was an expert on the Caucasus and on the history, politics, and ethnography of the Caucasus.
Oh yeah, yes, I remember in, I think it was in 1979, I heard him give a lecture, was on diplomacy leading up to World War II, and he had a complete knowledge of the German-Polish crisis and what was the British Foreign Minister Lord Halifax was doing, and he knew all the diplomatic details involved in it. This is an area, he knew it, seemed to me, as one I've studied a bit myself. He had a really tremendous grasp of all the details, not just the general outline of things, say, way most economists, say, when they're looking at history, might know some of the general outline, but he knew specific details on, say, what was involved in the British guarantee to Poland in March 1939, and how what had been the changes in British foreign policy since after the Munich conference beginning in October 1938. He would just go through every detail in the lecture. It was a very impressive lecture.
And yet, David, we know he had great barriers to him in his life, and I think of one of them in the fact that it took a long time for his PhD to be granted.
Yes, I think what had happened there was, you see, his father was a very good close friend of Arthur Burns, who was a professor at Columbia, who later became was head of the Council of Economic Advisors under Eisenhower, and I think he later was on the Federal Reserve Board. But Murray was influenced by him in his lectures on economic theory. Burns was an institutionalist, but he had very good criticism of economic theory. But Burns had a very different idea of how Murray's dissertation should proceed from Joseph Dorfman, who was his dissertation advisor. I mentioned him before, a great historian of economic thought. So the two of them couldn't agree on how the dissertation should go. And so Burns wouldn't approve a dissertation until he wanted it done his way, and Murray wouldn't do it. So he didn't really get the PhD until Burns left for Washington, couldn't stop it. So I think he had to wait till 1956, even though he done the work long before.
My favorite Burns story, and of course, as you mentioned, he was head of the Federal Reserve Board under Nixon, and of course, engineered at Nixon's request a massive inflationary program in the 70s. And after his term had expired, he got an ambassadorship to Germany as a gift from Nixon. And so he's at the airport in Bonn, and a wonderful thing, a reporter to ever ask an important state official a difficult question, but he said, as a great economist, you had to have known what the effects of this vast expansionary monetary policy combined with price and wage controls and so forth was going to be on the American and the world economy. How could you have done it? And Burns said, you know, the chairman of the Federal Reserve has to do what the president asks, or otherwise we lose our independence. And I was once told by a Fed official that was the most damaging statement, i.e. the most truthful statement, ever made by a Federal Reserve official.
Oh, well, I remember one story Murray told about Burns. He said Burns was once speaking at a conference, and Murray had been assigned as an observer to this conference, I think it was by the Volcker Fund. He wasn't supposed to ask questions, but he did. He asked Burns, at that time they had, according to the Keynesian system, if you had inflation increase in the money supply, this would drive prices up. And so you have in the Keynesian system, you have kind of a choice between inflation and unemployment. So they were having at the time stagflation, which is they have increase in prices, but you still have unemployment. So he asked Burns, "Well, what happens if this continues? You know, it doesn't seem like this is explainable by the standard theory." So he said, "Well," Burns had a W.C. Fields voice. He said, "Well, then we all resign." But of course, he never did. And one of Murray's laws was nobody ever resigns.
In fact, I think Murray described Burns as sounding like W.C. Fields without the humor, because he said Burns had no sense of humor.
Yeah. Yes, I can quite believe it. I once heard Burns, I think he spoke at UCLA. He certainly wasn't I can't remember any jokes.
Well, David, we both had the great honor of knowing Murray, of course, you in a scholarly sense, I as a friend, and as someone, of course, who learned a huge amount from him, and thank goodness so can everyone. I recommend highly David's book, The Essential Rothbard. All the Rothbard works are online at Mises.org to read for free. Also, if you want to buy them, and the prices are all kept very low by the Mises Institute, click on the Rothbard collection on the left-hand side of the front page of lourockwell.com. Really, you can read anything. If you're interested in money and banking, as history of American money and banking from the colonial era to World War II that Joseph Salerno edited and wrote an introduction to, was great. Of course, I've mentioned before, What Is Government Unto Our Money?, The Case Against the Fed, his History of Economic Thought, his book on America's Great Depression. David's mentioned, of course, his great four-volume history of colonial America. Really anything. One thing that we might end up with, David, is what an extraordinary writer he was. You know, Mencken famously called Henry Hazlitt the only economist who could ever write. But Rothbard seems to me just to stand alone, and I've never encountered anybody in the scholarly world who could write like Murray. I mean, what an extraordinary writer.
Oh yeah, yes, very much so. I mean, he had a very direct, punchy style. He was very much influenced by the humorist S.J. Perlman, who we really liked, and he's one of the funniest writers one could read. I was thinking you can't really go wrong reading Murray Rothbard.
Even though he's dealing with topics that are extremely important, topics that can be extremely complicated, his writing is so clear and so interesting that you're immediately drawn into it. And almost against your will, in some cases, you can't help but learn a huge amount and be a much better person for it. So read Rothbard. And David, thanks so much for discussing him with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.